Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder.
Stick 'em up.
Listen to Out There on Wednesdays, 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio for interviews and snippets of life from the paths and streets of Northampton. You can hear past editions of Out There archived at weatherbeard.com/out there.
Yes, so yesterday was kind of...
Wait a minute, computer, stop. You're listening to Out There. It is Wednesday, September 5th, right, the day after primaries, election day. And thanks for tuning in to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, getting all the things combobulated in the studio. Thanks to Mary for her show that she just played. Yeah, yesterday was primaries election day, and I just want to say thanks to all the people that ran. There were a lot of good candidates in the field. It's amazing to be from a place like this and have such options. I want to appreciate everyone, especially the women. When I was hauling trash and recycling today, I came across a New York Times article about all the like harassment that women entering politics or involved in politics or running for office have been facing. Sexual harassment, death threats, all kinds of things, all kinds of like intimidation. Thanks for everyone for putting the energy into running. Congratulations to Joe Comerford and Lindsay Sabadosa. Other people that are not coming to mind in this moment. So today's show, I have a few clips from, got a clip from Jamie, who texted Pedal People Sunday morning saying she had picked up some trash alongside the Connecticut River, and was there any way maybe we could come get it, or what would we charge for it? So I ended up meeting her on the riverbank on Sunday and interviewing her a little bit. And she kind of interviewed me, too. Also have a clip from, Lily Bell, a coworker of mine, just talking about stuff. I am a trash hauler, and there's been a lot of stuff passing through my hands and into my trailer and into trash compactors and recycling bins lately. And my coworker Clarissa had some stuff that exploded off of her trailer all across the entrance to the DPW today. I don't know how, there was like two trailers worth of stuff that somehow came out of that one trailer. Also today, what else? We have some stories. I don't know what else we'll have time for. Some songs, of course. One more little story from today. A little sweet story this morning. I was emptying the downtown trash barrels in Northampton. And I was just standing on the curb, like pulling a bag out. And this guy comes running across the street. He was actually, like, he was driving a truck on Main Street, and it was stopped at the light. And he was stopped in line at the light. And, I didn't know where he came from. I just knew he came running across the street, and he ran up to me, and he said, "It's people like you that make the world a better place." And he handed me a $5 bill. And then I was like, "Where'd this guy come from?" And then he turned around, and he ran back through traffic. The light had turned green by then. And he jumped in his truck. It said Duke's. I think that's a yard care tree service in the area. And he drove away. That's kind of sweet. All right. Here is Jamie. This interview is, this is from Sunday morning, a few days ago.
I'm Jamie, and I came down by the river to sit and contemplate life with my little dog Tommy, and we were wandering around. And I pulled out a couple of trash bags and started picking up trash and putting them in the bags, and this whole area was really littered. There's been a couple of wild parties. There's broken glass. There's still I picked up these six bags and this bucket. And
I wanted to provide a little more introduction to this clip. So this was on the Connecticut River in the meadows at the end of Hockenham Road, down that way out by the outlet of Magnolia Pond down there in Northampton.
All this stuff, and there's still, I could pick up 12 more, wow, at least. So that's how it came to be, because I just started picking up trash. I'm a birder, and I don't know. I'm an activist on Facebook, one of those armchair activists that tells you not to use reusable, you know, one-time use straws. I yell at my friends, you shouldn't use that straw.
Well, as a trash hauler, thank you on behalf of all trash haulers and landfills and living things in the world.
Thank you.
Did it get, like, you know, where do you reach your limit of, like, oh, I've picked up enough trash?
Well, this was just kind of spontaneous, and I thought, I'm down here. To be honest, I'm homeless. And I'm just driving around in places where I feel safe and hanging out for the day with my dog. And it was something that we could do besides watch birds and listen to the traffic.
Yeah.
So that's how it came to be.
What about, how do you feel about all the traffic, like the boat traffic, the four-wheeler ATV traffic? There's a lot of traffic.
It's tiresome.
Like, it's all woods. You think it'd be a natural area. Isn't it like a conservation area?
Yeah, it is. And there's like signs, no vehicles beyond this point and stuff. But then I'm beyond this point because I'm a birder and I'm parked and I'm not, you know, jumping the jumps over there or whatever it is they do out there. Speeding by on their speed boats. I wish they could understand the harm they do. Yeah, I mean, this is the Connecticut River. This is a major, the Connecticut River watershed is a major watershed on the eastern coast. It's got a rich history that goes way back to trade and, you know, colonial war and all of that. Oh, too far. And it's had a diverse population of wildlife, and I know more about birds than I do about plant life or fish, but I understand ecology and I understand systems, and I understand when you break systems, they cease to function, not only in the one place where they're broken, but throughout the system. It creates a crack, a chasm. And then the system begins to break down, and right now we're at that breaking point. Climate change, global, whatever you want to call it. And if we keep breaking our systems, it's only going to get worse. And, you know, the damage I think they're doing, you know, they deposit oil in the water. They're polluting the water. You know, they don't hear the noise pollution when they go by. They're loud, and they play their music, and they're having a good time, and they're obliviously inconsiderate of the world around them.
Yeah, I often think about the, you know, the fish and the eels, the turtles and everything in the water, too.
Yeah.
Like that high pitch.
Yeah.
You're swimming in that.
Well,
it's like nonstop.
All those noises, it's fish kills all over the globe. From the noise of man in the water, including whales and dolphins, you know. But it's just another way man affects his environment. So I'm just a little person doing a little thing, and thank you for coming and picking up my little thing when I couldn't. I really appreciate it very much.
Thanks for picking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it was all about timing, because if you had contacted me any other day, I'd be like, no, I have too much work to do, all the pedal people. But because it was a Sunday morning, I'm like, I gotta go for a bike ride on a Sunday anyway. I haven't been down to the meadows yet this year, so what a great reason to go down to the meadows.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
And I'm so happy to meet you, too, and it not just be like a text or phone conversation only.
Yeah, so. This is great. Thank you so much for coming. Tell me about what you do. How long have you been with the pedal people?
Since 2002.
Yeah.
I guess that's 16 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I moved here from Chicago in 2002, and my intimate partner at the time, still a business and domestic partner in some ways, like Alex Jarrett and I started, well, I had just moved here. I didn't have work. I was like working for ServiceNet a little bit, but I just wanted something more engaging and more independent. And I had been a bike messenger in Chicago, never had a car, biked everywhere. It was always my dream to, like, make a living on a bicycle.
Mm.
And Alex's too. Like, he didn't have a car either. He had a bike trailer that he used for his own errands, like calling, like taking laundry to the laundromat or going to get groceries. And anyway, so when I moved here, I had never been in a place where the city didn't pick up trash, where there's no municipal trash service.
Right.
Where it didn't come out of the tax base, people are paying extra. And so I was like, well, we're like, oh, if people can afford to pay a trucking company, like, I think like maybe half the households in Northampton hire trucking companies to haul the trash, and then the other half take it themselves to a transfer center.
Right.
But we're like, well, if people can pay a trucking company, they can pay us.
Yeah.
But the big question was, can we, one person, two people, two bikes, trailers, like, can we compete with the trucking companies?
Right.
That was a big unknown. And can we do it in winter?
Right.
Anyway, so we decided to go for it. I mean, what was there to lose? We already had bikes. We already had bike trailers. There's trash sitting out there.
Let's go. Yeah,
so we decided to give it a shot. And Alex has much more of the business mind, computer skills, and I have more of the winter biking, bike mechanic kinds of skills.
Yeah.
And so it was just a really good matching of compatible
That's nice.
Skills.
Good.
And we both knew when we started that we didn't, that if it was successful, like, we didn't want to, like, own a business and have employees. We knew that we always wanted it to be, like, a horizontal, like, cooperative kind of structure.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so we started by going to a Mass Bike, it's a bike advocacy group, Mass Bike Pioneer Valley Chapter meeting. Yeah. And I remember this was, like, November of 2002. I'd only been in the area a couple of months. And at one point when there was, like, open, when the meeting was open for comments, I was like, Alex and I are starting this trash hauling business on the bicycle. If anyone wants to sign up. And Jamie Albert Fisher raised his hand and said, I'll sign up. I was like, yes, he believes in us. Because it was just an idea at that point,
right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, so we got our first handful of customers through the cycling community and then just have grown. Like, now there's like, we have maybe 800 customers for curbside trash recycling and compost pickup.
Yeah.
There's about 18 pedal people, cooperative members.
Wow.
That do the work. Awesome. We also do yard care. We have a contract with the city where we empty all the downtown trash barrels, which is actually what I'm planning on doing with this that feels justified in my mind is considering this like public trash, like city trash barrels. So I'm just going to put it in the compactor where the city trash goes.
Okay.
And I'll save that blue bag for $1.50.
Yeah, do that.
Thanks for the $1.50.
Yes. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
That was JV down by the riverside. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Oh, and that was me too, your host, Ruthie Woodring. And this is Kathy Matea that keeps wanting to play.
Kind friends all gathered round. There's something I would say, that what brings us together here has blessed us all today. Love has made a circle that holds us all inside, where strangers are as family and loneliness can hide. You must give yourself to love, if love is what you're after. Open up your heart to tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Walk these mountains. Is what you're after. Open up your heart to tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Born in fire, it's planted like a seed. Love can't give you everything, but it gives you what you need. Love comes when you are ready. Love comes when you're afraid. It'll be your greatest teacher, the best friend you have made. So give yourself to love. Love is what you're after. Open up your heart to tears and laughter. Give yourself to love. Give yourself to love.
Give yourself to love. Yourself to love.
Mm-hmm. That was Kathy Mattea. I know sometimes people use this song as like a wedding song, but I wasn't thinking about it like that at all. I was just thinking about it. I don't know. It was running through my head today when I was working, and I just think about it as like community building and being open to community. So lately I've been doing the downtown trash route, which is emptying all the public trash barrels downtown. And the thing I like about that is that it's a chance to like meet people, talk with people who are hanging out downtown. Because I really feel like people I meet on the street, like they're my security in this world. Like building those relationships, and like when I know that when I've, because of some, if I am in trouble, there's going to be someone there. I'm pretty sure there's going to be someone there for me. And I really appreciate that. Another little downtown trash story. Yesterday when I was emptying the barrels, there was a man standing in front of Haymarket with a sign asking for change or something. I didn't read a sign. And then there was another man who had come, who was standing next to him playing a guitar, and apparently the guy with the sign had asked the guy with the guitar to move away a little bit, and the guy with the guitar started like, you know, I'm tired of people telling me what to do, I can be wherever I want, blah blah, and then it turned into a shouting match with insults being hurled, and I'm like right kind of right there in the middle of it emptying the trash barrel, and I was like, I wish I could think of some way to de-escalate this situation, but I couldn't really think of anything. And anyway, at one point the guy with the guitar pulled out his cell phone, like they were throwing insults like, oh, I work for a living and you just stand here, blah blah. And the guy, at one point the guy with the guitar said, well, call the cops on me, here, I'll give you my phone, and he pulled out his cell phone and to hand it to the guy with the sign. Anyway, I couldn't think of any way to de-escalate it in that moment, so I just carried on, and, you know, I may have, I think all I could come up with was like, guys, this is silly, which wasn't a very helpful comment. Anyway, so then I just went about my business, and then today, I was, as I came up to that same barrel in front of Haymarket, it was just the guy with the sign there again, and he was like, I'm sorry about yesterday. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know it's hard. It's hard out here. And he said, yeah, the police ended up coming, and they came. I thought they were going to tell me to get lost, but they told the guy with the guitar to get lost. Anyway, the thing about this story that kind of surprised me was that today when I went back, the guy with the sign, he saw me and apologized to me for the situation. That was kind of nice. But I'm glad it got resolved without anyone getting arrested. All right. Speaking of things in downtown Northampton, I'm going to play. This is a Prone to Mischief they were playing in Pulaski Park earlier this summer. Listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 in Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. The next clip I have is with Lily Bell. I ran into her this morning when I was emptying trash or shuttling bike donations around for the bike lab, whatever I was doing. And so she said, I asked her what was on her mind. She said, stuff. I said, yeah, well, stuff is on my mind too. So we're talking about stuff for a little bit, 5 minutes.
Yeah, so yesterday was kind of a hard pedal people day. I think partly because of the September 1st big moving mm-hmm. day, so a lot of people were getting rid of stuff and cleaning mm-hmm. out. And then I think people were gone for the Labor Day holiday or had Labor Day holiday picnics and had extra trash. Or, like, it seemed like people were gone and then they got back and then everyone decided to empty their cat litter boxes on the same day.
Right. So the trash was
the
super...
cleaning day, yeah.
Yeah, trash was super heavy. Lots of cat litter yesterday.
Oh.
And Clarissa and I were, like, about it last night. And it's funny. I made this comment to one of the gatekeepers at the transfer center. I was like, you know... people should there should just be quotas on how much trash a person can produce. Some people are above their quota.
Yeah.
And I was like grumbling to Alex, and Alex was like, you know, Ruthie, we should really think about it as a public health issue.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you're right, of course you're right.
I know it. My house did produce a lot of trash this weekend, but I don't think it was connected to the holiday. It was because we realized we had a carpet beetle infestation.
Ooh.
And
yeah, I just rode by your house and I'm like, I saw the trash on the porch. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not on that route.
Well, we're going to take it ourselves.
Oh,
some good. Of that ourselves. Yeah. And I wasn't really involved with the infestation because I just moved in. So they were kind of like with their things. But yeah, I was thinking about that and wondering how we can make, I don't know, like when there are these big bug situations, what happens?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
does it mean for the city?
Yeah. Or like any kind of, like a lot of things get thrown out because people don't know how or they haven't figured out a way to or don't have the time to clean them.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing.
Right.
What with the carpet beetle infestation, what did you all end up having to throw out? How did it affect your trash production?
Yeah, I'm curious as to what was being thrown away because we really did clean a lot, and we were mostly just washing things. Uh-huh. I think that was the main thing. We didn't throw away. We washed all the cloths and all the furniture and all the floors. But maybe it was part of the going through things that people found things that they didn't want.
Except they didn't need.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Thought they would use someday,
really.
But they haven't used it and it's been a while.
I don't know. Yeah. We're seven people there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It all adds up.
I guess. Even though I feel like, I don't know. I don't find myself putting many things out, but.
Yeah. Have any more thoughts about stuff?
Yeah. I guess what I'm thinking about lately is wishing that we had a place maybe at the transfer center or near there where we could put stuff that we didn't want. I don't know, one of those free places. Yeah. Do you know if there is one?
Well, there used to be a free table at the at Locust Street at the city's transfer center, but they did away with it in April.
Okay.
And their reasoning was they said that they just let it put too much pressure on the gatekeepers to keep an eye on to decide what could be left or what couldn't be left, because people would end up leaving trash there, and then there would be no disposal costs paid on it by the leaver. And then also the city said, well, there's other ways to get rid of stuff, like free piles or free cycle or Craigslist or the reuse it center out at the Glendale Road. But that's not a Glendale Road. That doesn't, I've never even, that's
long
ways
away. I know
away.
A lot of communities, including my parents' community, has like a big free store right next to the dump.
Yeah, if it was more centrally located, that would be really nice.
That's
for
the
people
key.
Who don't drive.
And then students, I don't know, just people who are coming and going. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where a lot of waste gets created.
Yeah, it was like a volunteer group that started the recenter, and I think they tried really hard. They tried. They looked at so many spaces in town, but couldn't find a space that was, you know, affordable or available. So that's why it ended up being so far out.
Yep. Well, I would be interested in learning more about the history of it / if anything was happening.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about stuff. And I'm going to go clean out a closet, actually, that someone else wanted in the house. And I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking about my stuff and where does it go? And some of it's precious and a lot of it's like just passing through, kind of. So, got stuff on my mind.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's all. Mm. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
That was Lily Bell. We crossed paths on the street this morning. Lily does some Pedal People yard care and is from Northampton. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. To sort of tag into what Lily and I were talking about, so there is a reuse center out at Glendale Road in Northampton where you can drop off things or pick up things. It's like a giant free pile. And also, coming up on Saturday, September 22nd, the city and the Northampton Reuse Committee are sponsoring a free community repair workshop, repair cafe at Smith Folk. So that's going to be Saturday the 22nd from noon until 4 in the cafeteria of Smith Vocational High School. And so you can bring anything that's broken, and there'll be people who can help fix it. Probably like, I don't know, 30 different stations or more, probably 40 stations, 50 stations. I don't know how many different people and stations there will be, but you can fix anything from, or help, you can get things fixed anywhere from broken bicycles to torn things that need sewing or mending. You can get tools sharpened, I believe. Electronic devices, anything that's broken, sewing machines, take it there instead of throwing it away. I think there's more information on the city's Facebook page, too. And also, today is Wednesday, so the Florence Farmers Market is going on, as it is every Wednesday from early May until late October. That's Wednesdays from 2 until 6. Next to the Florence Civic Center by the Lilly Library. And coming up tomorrow is the Surge meeting, showing up for racial justice. And there's in downtown Northampton at the Friends Meeting House, 43 Center Street, second floor. That starts tomorrow, Thursday. There's a potluck and orientation around 5:30, and then more meeting stuff the rest of the evening. Until 9, I think. I was just looking at the agenda. It's a pretty big agenda. And one of the items is a review and discussion of reparations payments. So Surge has been doing a reparations campaign. And should check out their website. I think one of the things that reparations payments are going towards is raising money for to buy back properties in Springfield, in coordination with Springfield No One Leaves, to buy back properties that have been foreclosed on or taken, and to return them to families, or to give them to maybe not the same family that it was taken from, but to try and keep some like neighborhood stability and keep those home ownership in the hands of Black families in Springfield. Also, a friend of mine was telling me that he was part of a march protest on Friday in support of a Smith student who earlier in August, she stopped for a lunch break in one of the student rooms, and someone, a Smith College employee, said she looked out of place and called the police, who questioned what she was doing there. She was Black. Surge meetings, that's one way to get involved in the effort for racial justice. Any kind of education we can do to change our stereotypes and what we expect of people. And also paying money, paying up for reparations. So also coming up this weekend and every weekend is the Bike Lab. I won't actually be at the Bike Lab this Saturday. This Saturday is the 8th of September because I'm going to Kentucky with my friend Shira. So I'll be gone the 8th and the 15th, but Dwayne will be there and maybe someone else.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
That was the Expandable Brass Band on background for that PSA. Something else, I wanted to talk a little bit more about trash and recycling. I was thinking about it because I was dropping off some new barrels and totes for a new customer today. And I was thinking about it because I was dealing with trash and recycling all day today. So some questions that people often have are, cups are not recyclable. Sometimes people think things are recyclable because they have the chasing arrows symbol on it. They have a number, like number one or two, number one through seven. So those chasing arrows are often referred to as the recycling symbol, but they're not actually the recycling symbol. What those chasing arrows are is a resin code that was made for manufacturers so they know what type of resin was in a plastic. So just because it's got those arrows and a number doesn't mean it's recyclable. Whether or not something is recyclable depends on lots of other factors, like the recycling industry market, it can be pretty regional. So it depends on whether that item is accepted at your local MRF, at your local materials recycling or whatever facility. We have two in Springfield, the Western Mass MRFs. And one is single stream and one is dual stream. A single stream means all the recycling, like paper as well as containers, cans and bottles, all comes mixed in one load and then it's sorted by the machinery there. Dual stream means that the paper comes in one load, paper cardboard comes in one load, and then the containers, cans, bottles, plastic, metal, glass containers come in another load. So whether or not something is recyclable, it depends on if the MRF, if they can sort it, because sometimes, you know, all this stuff comes in and like things will, little items will fall through the cracks in the conveyor belt, or like bags, plastic bags are a serious offender. They'll clog the rollers on the conveyor belt or the belts, whatever. They'll jam up the equipment. So things like that. Bags are not recyclable, little things. Also, contamination is an issue. So if there's like food, a lot of food residue left an item, it just makes a mess of everything. So sometimes people really like they want to recycle something that they've been told isn't recyclable, and they're like, well, maybe so, maybe, well, maybe, well, it could be recyclable. Yes, well, it should be recyclable. But a really important thing to remember is that when the trucks of recycling get to the MRF, if it's estimated that more than 10% of the load is contamination, then the entire load gets rejected. And I talked to an alternative recycling systems truck driver recently, and I asked him, so do your loads ever get rejected? And he said, yeah, I've been rejected before. And I said, well, what did you do? And he said, well, I went to the landfill or the incinerator, wherever he went. So when people try and recycle things that aren't recyclable, it just increases the chances that all the recycling is going to go to the trash. So for this region, the Springfield MRF, if you just look online at Springfield MRF, they've got really good recycling guides of what isn't and what is and isn't recyclable. So check it out. In terms of the resin codes and the chasing arrows that I was talking about before, so like different materials, they may have the same number on them. Like they both might have the chasing arrows and a number 5, but they might have, for example, different melting points. And so they might not be able to be recycled in the same place or like melted down or chipped up or whatever that melted. Yeah. So there's that. Also keep in mind that any soiled paper products are compostable. Pizza boxes, old tissues, paper towels, wet newspaper, paper bags, all that stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that could be composted or recycled, especially in commercial facilities. Like if you have a trash and recycling service that picks up your stuff, or if you take it yourself to the Locust Street Transfer Center, or to Valley Recycling out on Route 5 on the way to East Hampton. 10. All right. Next, I'm going to play... Oh, I think it's time for another song. Yeah, another song. Hang on. I got to look this up because... Okay, here's a song that I like. I've always liked.
Nice choice.
Like some Paul Simon. Thanks for listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. This is WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton.
And the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows. The bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all. The way we look to a distant call. These are the days of miracle and wonder, and don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. There was a dry wind, and it swept across the desert and curled into the circle of blue, and the dead sand falling on the children, the mothers and the fathers and the automatic earth.
These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in snowball. The way we look to us all. Oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry. It's a turnaround jump shot, it's everybody jump start. It's every generation throws a hero up the pop charts. Medicine is magical and magical is art. Think of the boy in the bubble and the baby with the babbling heart. And I believe these are days of lasers in the jungle. Lasers in the jungle somewhere. Staccato signals of constant information. A loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires and baby. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all. Oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in the corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry.
Well, as Alex would say, it's okay to cry, but just don't stay discouraged for too long. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Stay tuned for Democracy Now, coming up in 15 minutes at 5 o'clock. The next clip I have is with Jono Niger. This clip is actually from May. We were planting chestnut trees in Sunderland. He's talking about his chestnut tree planting project.
Jono Niger. And with Regenerative Design Group and now Riverside Chestnut Farm.
Yeah, so we're out here in a field in Sunderland. How did you come to start planting chestnut trees here?
Well, I've been interested in using trees and tree crops as part of our food system and food source for a long time, and really excited about all sorts of nut trees like chestnuts and walnuts and hazelnuts, even acorns, and so just excited about what trees can do on the landscape. They can feed us and provide habitat and stabilize the soil, and they're beautiful and great to hang out with.
How long will it take before these chestnut trees make nuts?
They'll start bearing in three years, and then each year they'll start putting on more and more nuts, and really by 8 to 10 years there'll be a lot of nuts coming off of the trees here.
You want to grab the wheelbarrow? What do you think you'll do with the nuts?
Yeah, well, that's the exciting part is the chestnuts are really carbohydrate rich, and they can be eaten roasted whole nuts, and they're really tasty.
Or microwaved. That's one of my favorite ways.
Microwaved. Yeah. Oh, cool. They can, and then they can be ground into a flour. So we'll have a local flour source. Flour can be made into cookies and baked goods or used in soups. And so all sorts of different ways. And we'll probably process them and have them whole or as kind of crumbled up and into chunks, and maybe even do some flour processing too.
I think as a stuffing or a dressing is a traditional way too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We actually saw you saw a turkey out here in the field
yesterday.
Turkey and chestnuts.
Right, right. Turkey and chestnuts living together, and a lot of different cultures have eaten chestnuts for eons and eons, and so it's a little bit of a edge or a kind of a lesser known crop for a lot of people in our communities, but there's people who still have that cultural heritage and that connection to chestnut, eating chestnuts.
So the traditional, like, chestnut, that culture, that's from the American chestnuts, right?
Yeah, in America, but people have been eating chestnuts around the world.
Chinese chestnuts in China, and American chestnuts in
Japanese chestnuts in Japan, and there's European types of chestnuts, and a whole chestnut agroforestry in Northern Europe using chestnuts as an overstory tree and hazelnuts underneath, growing chestnuts for wood, fencing, and then harvesting the nuts for food as well.
So these chestnuts are Chinese chestnuts, or what kind of variety?
Yeah, they're mostly Chinese chestnut hybrids, selected varieties. There are some here that have some American chestnut in them, some that have some Japanese chestnut in them as well, and they've been selected so they're blight resistant and also super productive.
How old are you? You don't have to be exact, but I'm
in my 50s.
So you should have like a lot of life left to enjoy these nuts.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. You know, and part of the project, this is part of a bigger chestnut project in the Valley and Massachusetts to increase growing of chestnuts more broadly. So we're also mapping where there are currently chestnuts growing, either individuals or there's a couple sort of small commercial plantings, but not much. And so, you know, mapping where those trees are already and how they're doing, and the hope is to encourage more farmers and landowners to be planting so that it becomes a really kind of a viable industry or a viable crop that that we could see more available.
Mm-hmm. How long will a chestnut tree produce?
Yeah, they could produce they'll produce for at least 50 years and upwards of 100 years or more. So they're going to have a long life in front of them, and we're really excited to be planting them this spring. We just now finished putting in a couple hundred chestnuts on 7 acres here, so it's really exciting.
Cool. So the land has been fallow for like 5 years, you were saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the field where we just planted, can you describe that field?
Yeah, it's growing in pretty fast with trees, lots of box elder, a lot of cottonwood, lots of herbs, tons of dandelion and oregano, and some leftovers from the previous farm, the oregano and the strawberry. So it's kind of wild, but it's really lush and productive and deep soils. I've been mostly growing up in the hills where there's tons of rocks, and so it's fun to be down in the valley with these deep, deep, loamy, silty soils. So, yeah, it's a really great spot.
Cool. Well, cheers to the chestnuts.
Yay, to the chestnuts. Thanks.
We just put these trees in the ground. What are other things that you got to do to make sure they survive and thrive?
Yeah, we're going to give each tree is going to have a little vole protector, which will either be a little piece of tree tube or hardware cloth to keep the bunnies and the voles from chewing on the trunk right down close to the ground. And then we'll have to have deer fencing and probably going to fence the whole field around the perimeter. And it'll be probably we're looking at a 6-foot wire fence with a single wire up at 7 or 7.5 feet. And then irrigation. So they'll need water probably every week or two at the very beginning, and then we can start to back it off. But then interestingly, they need irrigation right the month before the nuts ripen. They like to have more water. It makes the nuts bigger. So So we're sort of figuring out how formal of an irrigation system to set up, either drip tube or maybe we'll just put water in a tank and do delivery to them, or a gravity feed system, because the barn, the farm stand building, is set up above the field, so we could do a whole collection and gravity feed down to them. But that's all to be figured out.
What about weed control and make sure they don't get overgrown?
Yeah, well, we're going to, each tree is going to get a mulch ring around it for weed control for this year, and to help with the moisture, holding the moisture in. And then we'll be doing some mowing around the field, and the goal is, once the trees get a little bigger, we'd be grazing underneath them, and that would be how, so taking advantage of all that luscious growth, field growth, to feed some animals, some livestock. So yeah, it's going to be, I don't think they'll need, for the, once they get going and established, they're not going to need a lot, because their roots are going to be way out there and going deep, and so some meadow vegetation will be fine.
That was Jono Niger talking about the chestnut farm that he's started off in Sunderland, off of Route 47, between 47 and the Connecticut River. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. Another announcement, Comedy as a Weapon, excuse me, Comedy as a Weapon presents a benefit comedy show at the Academy of Music on Saturday, September 15th, starring Donnell Rawlings. And this is in Northampton at the Academy of Music. Show begins at 8 p.m. I think it's a, this flyer doesn't say what it's a fundraiser for. I thought it was a fundraiser for the food bank, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Comedy is a Weapon. That's Tim Lovett's project, and it's some funny stuff. That's coming up on the 15th. Thanks for listening to Out There today.
Wait
a minute. No. Thanks for listening to Out There again and again. The same little clip starting again and again. How about some Bob Marley? Wait a minute. That wasn't the right one. Someone is not prepared today.
Well, any in areas in this country where the government has proven itself either unable or unwilling.
Minutes after they took I.
To defend Negroes who are being brutalized by racists and bigots and white supremacists.
And was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation, triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists,
all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Thank you. emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, all I ever
that unearned suffering is redemptive.
Redemption songs, these songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Well, now, Jerry, ain't so hard to find a bacon shop in town.